Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
To cancel the season now. I really believe that a lot of people would never come back. People would just move on, especially if the NHL comes back, if the NBA comes back, if the NFL has a somewhat normal season. All of those things seem at least possible, if not likely. And if baseball is the only sport to not be able to work it out in this time, honestly, the only conclusion you could draw is that they deserve whatever comes from it.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. That was Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal, baseball reporter for the Wall Street Journal, who joined us a few minutes ago. Now, he runs kind of counter to what we heard from, like, Wiggy, among others. And Wiggy says, basically, if they shut it down this year, fans will come back next spring. Jared Diamond thinks there's a real good chance that's not going to happen. I'm probably more in Diamond's camp than I am Wiggy's camp in that regard.
Yeah, I 100% am. And again, you can always account for, in every sport and also any team fan base, like the diehards, there's nothing you could do that would turn them away. But that's a smaller percentage,
sure.
Right? So there's a lot more people that just, if the team's good, they get into it. Or if there happens to be like a really good matchup, you know, like if you look at the NBA Finals or the World Series or the Stanley Cup Final, if your team is out of it, but there's a really compelling story or there's, you know, two superstars in it or whatever it might be, there's going to be more interest. And so baseball, as we've discussed a lot, is kind of on the slide down. Now, you could argue that they're still the second best, most popular sport. I think they're third, but like, there's a fight there. You know, you have the NFL, sure, kind of running away and hiding.
Lapping
and
the field.
Yeah, and then the NBA and Major League Baseball. It probably depends on, again, what the matchups are in the playoffs and things like that. But I think the NBA has more popularity. I know during the crossover, Curtis was saying baseball, I think, brings in more money, but they also play twice as many games.
Right.
You know, so I mean, you got to factor
that. And in larger arenas to play in as well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so I would say the NBA's passed them by, but still I would say a pretty strong third. But they're already on the decline. And people don't love the game itself. They have a hard time marketing their players. I think especially after guys like Ortiz and A-Rod and Jeter all retired, there's less household names in baseball now than maybe there was before. And like to Jared's point, and it's, I think the fear of like every sport and every little, any kind of commodity that's like looking for eyeballs is the fact that there are so many options out there right now. So you go back to 94, where they had the strike, and then all of a sudden there was no World Series. It took them a little bit to come back, and they needed the steroid era, but at least then, in 94, 95, not as many options to steal you away. Not as many cable channels, not as many streaming services, or no streaming services. Whereas now, yeah, people will do just fine. And if you give them a full year where baseball wasn't a part of their routine at all, they'll get used to that, and they'll be like, all right, on Tuesday nights, I did this. On Wednesday nights, I did this. On the weekends, we did this. Like, they can't afford to just miss an entire season. And on top of it, if the NBA and NHL come back, so they sort of prove that, hey, we all fought through COVID-19 together. They found a safe way to play. And here are the NBA and NHL in the playoffs, by the way, which is going to make you even more interested right out of the chute.
Sure.
And baseball takes the year off. Oh, man, that would kill them. Absolutely kill them.
I will also, and I respectfully disagree with Jared in this regard. As he correctly pointed out, there's going to be a lot less money in the pot altogether for Major League Baseball. Now, he thinks, you know, generational players like Mookie Betts will get theirs, and he's certainly going to be supremely paid as, you know, probably the best free agent available. But there is no way this doesn't cost him probably upwards of $100 million if he signs a free agent contract after this season. I'm of the opinion he's better off signing a one-year bridge deal. And, you know, let's see if we can get back to some semblance of normalcy, and then we'll tackle this again.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, it's going to be interesting because also we were sort of wondering, like, could he make $400 million? But, like, it hadn't happened yet. And, you know, he's not as good as Mike Trout, so he really shouldn't get Mike Trout money. But at the same time, some team every year always kind of overpays for whatever the best free agent is out there. And thanks to guys like Trout and Arenado and a couple other guys that all signed early, Betts is clearly going to be the big name. I wonder, again, because it's not salary cap, does a team out there say, all right, we're going to invest so much money into Mookie Betts, he is going to be our guy, he's going to be the face of our franchise, we are going to pay him a crazy amount of money, but we have to now be really smart with the other guys? And that was the other thing that Jared pointed out. Like, if you were a number four pitcher and the market was saying that you're going to get, I don't know, $10 million a year, $12 million a year,
right,
maybe now you're making eight, maybe now you're making seven. And I think all of baseball will look at that and say, yeah, we don't value, you know, the Rick Porcellos like we did before. Whereas Mookie Betts, yeah, still we feel like it's a good enough investment. And if we're worried about getting people to come back to the ballpark, how else can we do it? People are gonna buy tickets, we think anyway, because of Mookie Betts and not because of, you know, the 3-4-5 starter or the middle reliever that we're gonna sign.
I also think, you know, to the greater point about will they come back? You know, will fans come back? I'm with Jared on this one. I don't think they're going to flock back. To your point, the base will be there. The base is always there. No matter what they do, the base will be there.
Yeah.
But the base isn't enough to support the financial numbers that Major League Baseball has tied up just in salaries right now.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And then I guess you'd have to get into, you know, the individual local markets and what their TV deals are. And some are going to be better off than others. I don't know, like, how many years certain, you know, they've already committed to and things like that. And as long as they can get as many games on TV as possible, they'll at least be able to make that money. But then when it comes time to re-up, you got to wonder, like, all right, well, based on the ratings and based on the overall support for the sport, like, I think that's going to drastically change things. It would have to.
I wonder what the players are thinking at this point. And, look, I understand. They generally, they're sort of like Blake Snell in this regard. Hey, I got a contract. I get mine.
Right.
I've already given back too much. And I do understand, you know, you are your own corporation. You have a limited time to make your money. You don't want to be given any of it back. I understand all of that. I get it. But do you think somewhere somebody's saying to them, you do understand we're going to hurt ourselves. We're going to suffer as a group. If we let this go on the way it's going right now. Do you think they get that? Because the rhetoric from agents like Scott Boras and others is, nope, we're not giving anything back.
So I normally think no. Just because when you look at other negotiations, I think players, and like part of me, it's hard to blame them because they know that they have a short shelf life. Now, shorter in football, clearly, than baseball. But still, you know, professional athletes, you know, it's not like you're going to be doing that forever. So you're trying to make as much money as you can in the short term. So it's really difficult to say, yeah, we might be sacrificing something, but we're going to make sure that the guy who is 15, 16, 17 right now is going to be in a much better place. Some guy I don't even know. Like, I think, like, the league is going to be set up to be better. In that regard, wouldn't you think the owners would have a little bit more, wouldn't they care more about losing a season and just, you know, the idea, I know they have more
presumably
money.
Presumably, they're going to be in the game longer, right?
That's what I'm thinking, right? I mean, some of these guys will be, and I know they have more money, and they have other ventures, and they have other things that they own, and they're going to be able to sustain a missed season more. But as far as the long-term impact on the sport, like in 5 years, if baseball is the clear-cut third, and it's now fighting with hockey for maybe being the fourth most popular sport, is it as good and as profitable to own a team at that point? I mean, that's something that the owners have to consider as well.
And you've got to assume that they're... Now, I read something, was it ESPN, somewhere yesterday, said that there is a group of owners who are fine with the season just going away. That presumably a smaller group, and presumably that doesn't mean the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Yankees.
Right. No, of course not.
The well-heeled owners. It's the owners of, you know, the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays who may say, well, what difference does it make? We'll just lose less money than we would have otherwise.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's just a weird thing, though. You know, to have that mindset, like, as an owner, then maybe you shouldn't own the team. Like, if you're not doing everything you can to get back there and to play, and even if you have a smaller fan base, like, don't you still owe it to that fan base? And just for the overall good of the game? Like, those guys that think that way clearly aren't thinking long-term about the sport. Or they feel like,
how much money am I going to lose?
Yeah, how much money am I going to lose? And, oh, I'll just get it back the next year. It's like, well, I'm not sure you will. Like, if you lose money now, like, whatever that number is, it's only going to multiply over the next few years because, those guys are underestimating the impact of a lost season and, like, what the domino effect would be.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us just about 12:15, a little over an hour from now. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at 1. We've got the Dale and Keefe Movie Club review at about 1:45. We'll get to all of that stuff, your calls as well, right after we trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How many times has Rich Keefe been wrong?
Zero. Ever? Ever. Ever. Ever.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and, I started to say Dale and Keefe, but have we renamed the show Dale and the Turnip yet? I'm not sure.
Dale and the Turnip. Unbelievable.
Which seemed really...
This guy's got the IQ of a turnip.
It seemed really hurtful
to me.
What
do you think, like, ballpark, the IQ of a turnip is? Like, ballpark.
I usually
not every turnip's the same, obviously. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, do that.
I usually use coffee cup, so I'd say coffee cup is less than a turnip.
Okay, so I got a few points.
Like a 44, maybe?
It just hurt. I mean, so if you disagree with somebody, do we just assume that they're the dumbest person in the world?
Have you ever seen a dumb person eat a turnip before?
I don't think anybody eat a turnip.
Oh, I like turnip.
No, I've only seen smart people eat them. I mean,
Dale likes turnip.
You know what? The prosecution rests. I mean,
now,
Shime
wanted me to cut through a turnip with my sword because he's
very difficult.
I can do it.
Those
impossible.
Things are dense.
Cannot be done. Yeah,
right, it sounds like a challenge. Challenge accepted, boys.
Well, let's put it this way: the flinging fruit in Keefe's direction, cutting it in the air thing, that ain't happening with a turnip.
All
now,
right,
if
what
you
if
set
I...
one on the railing of the porch and maybe,
yeah,
I don't even think you could do it then, but maybe.
So I think maybe I would do that. Just have it like on a tee. I know Wiggy thinks it's not impressive, but if the turnip's that hard, that's really. I mean, we've already learned my hand.
It'd be
eyes.
Like cutting through a coconut. You're not going to do it.
I did the coconut.
No, the whole, the husk I and did everything.
Oh, yeah. The milks went everywhere. I did a coconut.
Did you cut through it or did you damage it enough so that the milk escaped?
No. I didn't. Yeah, punctured it? No, I sliced right through it. I sliced right through a coconut.
The turnip will be more difficult than a coconut.
All right, but you got to admit that was pretty impressive. And I also did a cantaloupe, which was like rock hard. It was a rock hard cantaloupe. Went through that thing like a hot knife through butter. So, challenge accepted. Next time I get to the store, which will be 6 months, I will get a turnip.
So let me ask you a question that relates both real world stuff and football stuff. Because this has come up a lot over the course of the last 8 days or so. I saw somebody actually suggested that what the Minnesota Vikings should do right now is go out and sign Colin Kaepernick. That somehow that would help. Now, actually, Minneapolis was calmer last night than a lot of other American cities. The brother of George Floyd yesterday implored people to stop doing the rioting and the looting, and it did seem to calm things down in Minneapolis. Yesterday, Michelle Tafoya was on with OMF, and she said, I wouldn't want anybody to sign Colin Kaepernick because somehow you think it's a big move for race relations. I don't think a team would. I mean, wouldn't it be insulting if some team said, hey, Colin, you want a job?
100% it would be insulting. I don't know what's more insulting, signing Colin Kaepernick now or the idea they floated out there that, hey, if you hire a black head coach or GM, we'll give you a better draft pick.
Oh, that was just awful, wasn't it?
Horrible. But this sounds like a similar type of deal. Kaepernick hasn't played since 2016. Now, I thought he was good enough to be a low-end starter or certainly a backup the last couple of years. Like, 17 he should have been in the league, 18 he should have been in the league. But then you're like, all right, by 19, you know, a quarterback that's been out for that long, I don't know. You know, and then certainly now you're getting into 2020, and all these teams would just look so dumb. Like, and they'd be thinking that they're, like, making this great gesture. Like, see, we're taking Kaepernick. But all the problems are solved in the world. And you're like, no, why didn't you sign him before? Like, what makes you think? Like, we've looked around the league. There are a lot of teams that don't have great quarterback rooms or even teams that have, you know, a solid starter. You look at their backup and it's like, who's this guy? So Kaepernick clearly should have been in the league, I would say, at least two of the last 3 years.
Well,
I don't
Anthony
know. Again,
Lynn.
You start, the further you go out, it's I think it's just really difficult. But, yeah, now would be a slap in the face.
There are not a lot of minority head coaches in the NFL, but one of them is Anthony Lynn, the L.A. Chargers head coach. And one of the things he said was it's embarrassing that Colin Kaepernick wasn't considered, you know, one of the guys who could play quarterback in the NFL over the last several years. He said, you know, maybe you didn't think he was one of the 32 best, but he at least could have been a backup. And he said it was embarrassing the fact that, and let's be honest, now that you look back on it, the more we've learned, the further we've separated ourselves, A, he was probably right, and B, he was blackballed.
Yeah. Now, again, I think it's, we would have this conversation at the time, but I think it's unfair to say, oh, 32 teams are keeping Kaepernick out of the league. Well, 32 teams didn't need a quarterback. Now, right. I fully admit that some of them did, and he was better than some of their backups. But again, you go through the league and you're like, all right, that's a rookie, so they're going to stick with him. That's a second-year guy, but that was their draft pick.
Patriots
or blah, blah, blah.
Had Tom Brady. Why did they need him? That sort of thing.
But don't you think it's a little silly of Anthony Lynn to say that? Because it's one thing for you or I to say, yeah, Kaepernick should have been on a team. Because guess what? We don't have control over it. We're not a head coach. We're not a GM. So we can just sit from the outside and say it.
Right.
So Anthony Lynn was with the L.A. Chargers, the head coach of the L.A. Chargers, 17, 18, and 19. Now, I know they had Phillip Rivers, but what? You can't have two quarterbacks. You can't have three quarterbacks.
Right.
Like, you should have been in the league. Well, why didn't you take him? Well, I don't know. We had Phillip Rivers. Okay. Well, the Pats had Brady. The Saints had Brady. Like, go down the list. Like, now you're like everybody else. And so, well, we weren't going to sign him, but somebody should have. I'm like, I don't like that.
I mean, at this point, if I were Colin Kaepernick and I thought that somebody was offering me a contract as some means of quelling the racial unrest in that particular owner city, that would be an affront to me. You don't think I can play quarterback. You didn't think I could play quarterback for the last 3 years, but you want to calm things down in Minnesota or pick your city, so you went and offered me a job.
Well, yeah, right. And especially when, you know, for a couple of years, there was really a lot of other people speaking for him, and we didn't really know, all right, like, would he accept backup money? Would he accept a backup role? Like, if right. the Chargers even offered him a job, would he have said, well, no, Philip Rivers never gets hurt. He's your starter. Like, I don't want to be the backup. Like, we didn't know for a while. And then you remember he held that workout thing down in Atlanta, and then yeah. it got moved, and then it was at, like, a high school field.
Because NFL was trying to hijack it, and he didn't want them to hijack it, so he moved yeah. it somewhere else.
It was really weird. The whole setup was so bizarre. They don't do this for other free agents. It never happened before. And I think, wasn't Jay-Z involved in this at some level?
He was,
level?
yep. And everybody thought it was tied to the new business relationship right. between the NFL and Jay-Z. And
then so he ended up moving it, and some scouts still went, but it was like they didn't want it to have it filmed. And he's like, well, what's the point? Like, I obviously want to have it filmed. And it was a whole weird thing, and like, you can't use your receivers. It was like a bizarre thing. He ended up having it, and then he spoke afterwards. And whether he truly wanted to get back in the league or not, at the very least, he was out there throwing the ball. We hadn't seen him throw the ball in a while, right? We hadn't seen him do that. He looked like he was in fine shape, yeah. right? He looked fine. Again, hard to tell. It's like watching a pro day. Like, it's just a guy not in equipment throwing the ball around. Like, of course, he's going to be able to always throw the ball, I'm guessing. Like, even 10 years from now, he's going to be able to throw the ball in, like, an empty stadium, and you're going to be like, okay, he can throw. But so I'm like, all right, maybe he does want to be back in the league. But when nobody bit after that, and now you fast forward several months and everything that's going on in the country, you had free agency. I mean, hell, Cam Newton still doesn't have a job. Cam Newton's more NFL yep. ready right now than Colin Kaepernick. But you just had this rookie class just all got infused into the league. Like, yeah, if you sign Kaepernick now, I mean, the first question would be, why the hell didn't you sign him earlier? Like, why now?
Here's what Anthony Lynn said in this morning's LA Times about Colin Kaepernick, and I'm quoting now. People completely misunderstood Colin and what he was trying to do. People talked about disrespecting the flag. The flag covers a lot, patriotism and civil rights and other things. And Colin was speaking out against the injustice, and a lot of people didn't catch on to that because it was happening during the national anthem. They thought it was disrespectful to the flag. I was surprised by the number of people who didn't know why he was protesting. I got letters from people. I had people walk up to me and ask, Coach, what are you going to do if someone on your team protests? I had to explain to them that Colin is taking a knee for criminal justice reform and police brutality. And once you broke it down, they were like, oh, we didn't know that. We thought he was protesting the flag. And that was the case for a lot of people I came across. That is absolutely the way it was represented and misrepresented. Oh, he doesn't like the military. He doesn't like the flag. He yeah. was. Now, he did a lot of other dumb things.
Right.
The socks, the pig socks, the Castro T-shirt. I think sometimes it was ready, shoot, aim for him. But the yeah. initial taking the knee was to protest what he thought, correctly so, was criminal justice reform and police brutality.
Yeah, and you remember the first thing he actually did was sit on the bench. He actually sat during the anthem, and then he spoke with Nate Boyer.
Yes.
An NFL player who, I forget, I don't know if he was in the Marines or
I think he was Special Forces of some kind. He had a military background.
Yes, he 100% did, and they came to an agreement that, hey, if you're going to do it during the anthem, a knee is more respectful. And so they came to that agreement, and after he had that conversation with him, he started the knee after that, and yet people just completely took it away from him. And I also don't think he did a great job of vocalizing it early on.
Oh, he did not.
You know, I think that kind of set things back a little bit for him and for everybody else. And then they were able to take it and make it all about, oh, he hates this country and he hates the troops. We're like, no, it's got nothing to do with the troops.
Now, part of that was political. I mean, part of yeah. that was it was a political ploy. Fire that son of a bitch, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
And it became something that it was not. And then to your point, he did not delineate very clearly what it was he was protesting. He almost relied on other people to do it for him because he wasn't very good at it. But now yeah. you look at what's going on. Now I'm seeing police officers taking a knee next to protesters. And I'm thinking, isn't that sort of what cost Colin Kaepernick his job? That right there?
Yeah, pretty much. Now, he did. It was also weird kind of timing because he started at the knee and he was the backup at that point. But then he regained the starting job and continued to do it during his final year. So he played while that was happening, but then he was up. He had that screwy contract where they could just kind of get rid of him. And remember, there was like a potential trade to Denver, and but they were just going to slice his salary down. And he opted out. And so he actually kind of proved to me that he did want to play, because he opted out of his contract, which they were just going to toss out regardless, to give him a better shot at free agency. And he even said that, hey, I won't take a knee. Like, if that's such a big distraction for your franchise, I won't take a knee. And, you know, but if you sign me, and nobody did, and I mean, that's going on 4 years now.
617-779-7937. Steve's in Winchester. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up, Steve? Thank you.
Listen, this Colin Kaepernick, I don't understand it. He sued the league. You hear all players say that it's a business, right? And all the teams, the NFL is a business. All the teams are branches of that business. He sued them. Who's going to...
And he won, too, by the way.
He won.
I know he won. But, I mean, you know, who's going to bring him back to sue them again if something else goes, something else happens?
I'm
sure it was in the... Wasn't it in the agreement that he couldn't sue him again or something like that? I think that was part of the deal.
And I also think, to Rich's point...
That bad taste is in your mouth. I mean, somebody sued you. Would you, if you owned a business and someone sued you, would you hire them back?
It would, like I said, it depends on whether or not he's right, and it turns out he was. I mean, I get your point. He sued the league. Damn it, I'm not going to have anything to do with him.
But I mean,
almost
these
sounds
guys,
like collusion again. But
I mean, the NFL... Like, these teams, now every owner is a little bit different, clearly. But they are win at all costs. I mean, Aldon Smith is back in the league. Josh Gordon's got
there,
a million
there are
chances.
Some reprehensible people who get jobs again.
Right. So, like, what are we doing? Like,
Colin Greg Hardy got a job again.
Yes. Tyreek Hill never even lost his job. I feel sick even comparing them to Kaepernick. It's just my point is teams will, if they feel like he's giving them the best chance to win... They'll take him. And I've said this all along. Kaepernick's ability, he wasn't good enough where a team would just say, screw it, we're taking him. Like, if he was a top 10 quarterback, he never would have been out of the league. But he was low enough where teams were like, all right, a distraction. And whether it should or shouldn't be a distraction, regardless, it was. You know, there was a lot of attention on it. And they said, all right, let's weigh the pros and cons here. Do we want to take him? Is he good enough? And the same thing happened to Ray Rice. Ray Rice wasn't good enough anymore. Also, there was a video, but guess what? There was a Kareem Hunt video. He played for the Browns. You know, like I think he wasn't good enough. If Ray Rice had did what he did a few years earlier, he would have gotten suspended. He would have been reinstated, and a team would have taken him. But at that point, his value wasn't high enough.
617-779-7937. Dave's in New Hampshire. Hey, David.
Hey, guys, I think you're way off base here. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, what you're not hearing is what were his terms for coming back to a team? Did he want to be a backup? Was he willing to take less money? I mean, in full disclosure, if he wanted to do himself a favor, he could make a public statement that, like you said, I won't take a knee anymore. I'll make some concessions. I don't want to be a distraction to your team. But also,
he did say that.
No, he did say that.
He's going to take backup money, and Bill Belichick would sell his mother to win another game, the next game, and the game after that, and the game after that. If he could help them in some way and not hit the salary cap with a big number, a guy like that would jump all over Colin Kaepernick. I think the money that comes with it, the terms that come with it, the circuits that come with it are what each individual team decides on. It's a no-brainer. I wouldn't want this guy to be sitting on the bench for 90% of the time and bring all the drama he did, like Tim Tebow. Is Tebow the blackball? He's just a stiff. He was a circus act.
Yeah, but he got a few chances.
Colin Kaepernick was not a stiff. I mean, he could play.
Yeah, Kaepernick was better, but Tebow at least got a few chances.
But if you're not going to be, you know, the whole plan is for him not to play as a backup. And if, you know, 50% of the teams, maybe there's 16 spots for backups, second, third stringers, whatever. That is the value of that position versus the drama that he brings. It's just not worth it. If I were running a lemonade stand, I wouldn't want to bring him aboard. It's like I never knew what his color or his politics. If he could help me sell more lemonade, I'd bring him on board. It's just that simple to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't know exactly how much money he wanted, right? I mean, I guess that's it. And the caller's right. If he says, hey, I want like $25 million, well, you're not doing that because you're a backup.
Nobody's doing that.
But if he was willing to, and I thought at the very least when he did his little tryout thing, he said that he was open and wants to compete. And he understand, like, he would go to a team that has a starter. He just wants a chance. That's what he said. Now, did it ever get to the point where his agent got on the phone and was like, hey, bring Colin in. We can give him, like, you know, $4 million. And he said no. Like, if that comes out, then all right, maybe he didn't really want to play that bad. But I don't think publicly we didn't know that.
There's an interesting piece that was on SI.com yesterday. The headline is, what do you think of Colin Kaepernick now? It was written by Michael Rosenberg. And I'm just going to read you the first couple of lines. It says, America is on fire, and Colin Kaepernick tried to warn us. He saw what many white people did not want to see 4 years ago, and he said what many prominent white coaches and athletes are saying today. Some truths make people uncomfortable till we hear them enough, and that is really all Kaepernick did. He told the truth and made people uncomfortable. He brings up another interesting point. If Colin Kaepernick first knelt today, after what happened last Monday in Minneapolis, he'd be applauded for it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, probably. Although, again, during the anthem, it's just going it's gonna take away from a lot of people. You know, I mean, the protests are one thing because you can't say it. A protest just down the, you know, the streets of Boston can't be viewed as anti-American. But when you bring in the national anthem and then, you know, people, they all have their own thoughts on it and they think that that's what you're doing. Again, it's a little distracting, but you're right. I mean, he was trying to warn people or however you want to phrase it. He also
was doing what we now call, correctly so, a peaceful protest.
Right.
It got turned into, he hates the military, he hates the flag. That's the way it got hijacked.
Right.
But it was the exact same thing we're seeing on streets and byways of every city in America right now.
Yeah, and this goes back to, like, Wiggy's point from yesterday, which I know callers certainly disagreed with, but you can see why things do kind of why they can turn violent, why there ends up being some destruction. It's because peaceful protests get you where? Often, right? I mean, yeah. I'm not saying they're useless. By no means are they useless. But I'm just saying you do it enough. And Kaepernick was doing this 4 years ago, and the message got sort of hijacked, got taken away, and it didn't have the impact that it would have had now, or is having right now. I feel like in this country.
Matt's in Rhode Island. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
So you guys kind of touched upon everything that I was about to say.
Sorry.
You know, four years ago, you know, Cap and Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed were taking a knee and they get thrown out of the league for peaceful protests. But all day yesterday, you turn on the news, you turn on the radio, all you hear is the peaceful protests being applauded and the rioters that were going crazy and awful people. And we were applauding the kneeling and how the cops were joining in on it. I mean, it just seems that, you know, Wiggy was kind of right. I mean, you know, the rioting is working because it's showing that the peaceful protests are important and they're getting finally praised. When Cap was trying to do this 4 years ago, it wasn't the same. And another note on Cap, I don't think he's not going to get brought back because of race relations and or his talent or anything. You know, the difference between Cap and Ray Rice is Cap cost the league money. People were turning off the television. Ratings were going down. You know, Ray Rice didn't cost people money. Kareem Hunt, they didn't cost people money. Greg Hardy,
they should have cost people money.
They're not.
Yeah.
What's costing people money is racist America. And
no, it is.
These
it's messed up when you put it that
white
way.
People don't want to watch these peaceful protests. They don't care if you pull out a gun on your wife or your fiance.
Right,
they care
sick.
About racism in this country, and they don't want to have the conversation.
Oh, it's you're right, and it's incredible. And again, I hate even putting Kaepernick in the same conversation as Hardy and Rice and Tyreek Hill. But the truth is, those guys were going to get another chance, or people would sort of look the other way, or for whatever reason, they weren't as offended by it. Like, how could you read some of the details in the Greg Hardy story, or watch the Ray Rice video, or watch the Kareem Hunt video, and then see Kaepernick and then be more outraged at Kaepernick? Like that was, and that happened. We talked a lot about it, Dale, for many shows
every day.
Holy smokes! But people were more outraged by that, and you're like. And again, they weren't alone. I feel like NFL owners probably felt the same way, hence why one guy was out of the league and all the other guys were getting second and third chances.
Chris is up in Maine. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys, I think we're having a little bit of revisionist history on Colin Kaepernick here. Do you remember the socks he was wearing?
Yeah,
we mentioned the socks in the
depicting cops
the
as pigs.
Castro
it was
shirt.
Stupid.
Yeah, but
just
I mean, let's not make him out to be some, you know, hero here, you know, like that he was wearing... That offended a lot of police officers.
Yeah, but not make him a villain because of his socks.
Right.
Well, I know, but to compare police officers now kneeling in light of riots and Colin Kaepernick kneeling, you know, you're comparing apples and oranges.
Well, no, I don't really. Why? I mean, I think what Kaepernick was talking about was police brutality, and it's not like it just started. Last weekend, like
last Monday,
by,
yeah.
By wearing, but again, wearing socks that depict police officers as pigs.
So you're focused on that. Clearly, you're hanging on to that. And we even said right. Kaepernick wasn't necessarily the best poster child. But what about the message? Like, wasn't the message pretty important? And sort of where we're at now, he was kind of ahead of the curve.
But you know what's interesting is the message. Everyone agrees to the message that everyone was disgusted by what that Minneapolis police officer did. Where people differ is on the rioting and the violence being played out in cities across America. Everyone was unified in the disgust of what the Minneapolis cop did. Justice will be served on that, and it was being served. He was arrested.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the other guys that he was with are still out there free. I mean, you say everybody's unified on it. I don't know if that's true.
We all know investigations take time, correct? You don't just put something together and it happens.
But do you think that the police officer who killed George Floyd, if it wasn't for the riots, do you think they even would have arrested him?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, they waited.
You know, but I guess that... I mean,
we all saw the videos, and what were they waiting for?
Sure. Well, you know what? You still have to interview, you know, the other police officers. Maybe they're all going to testify against them. Maybe there's more to this. You know, but, you know, you have to kind of, you know, give it a little bit of time. Justice is being served. You know, justice shouldn't be black or white. Absolutely. You know, everyone agrees with that. Where this all differs is the violence that we're seeing... Innocent people having their lives ruined, their businesses destroyed, that's not okay.
Yeah, but that's also not by the people that are actually doing most of the protesting. I mean, if you really look at the videos, it is people that are just looking for chaos. It's not the people that are, you know, marching with signs and doing it peacefully and taking a knee and trying to actually get their message across. It's a lot of just opportunistic people that say, well, here's my opportunity to loot or here's my opportunity to do this.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us at 12:15. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
is the telephone number. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston at 12:15 today. Kiefer Madness at 1 o'clock. I try not to know what it's about. It's better for me that way.
Yes.
That allows me to approach it with a fresh set of eyes.
Let's just say some familiar names are involved in Madness today.
The Dale and Keefe Movie Club Review is at 1:45, and I know we've buried the lead here all day long. Is this Karaoke Tuesday or no?
We need it now more than
Karaoke
ever.
Tuesday has been moved to Thursday.
Is that true?
Sad.
No, it would be it's Tuesday. Of course it's Tuesday.
Of course
it's called Karaoke Tuesday.
So it'll be after our review of Uncut Gems?
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
Close out the show with it.
We really need, it needs to be a positive song.
Already is. I already have
it
selected.
Buddy Dice on Twitter is already putting in his request for Lean on Me. I'm just saying.
All right. I mean, not bad. We need something, though. I'm looking forward to that, Shime. Just to really launch us into having a good rest of the day.
You know what, Keith? I'm going to give it my absolute all for you.
Good. I appreciate that.
I have a feeling that means his voice is going to crack at some point during the presentation, because sometimes he gets rambunctious and
it's fine.
Tries to hit those high notes, and then the next thing you know, puberty sets in.
Well,
all right, let's get back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Sean's in Marshfield. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I don't know, man. I'm really frustrated. The last caller who called and said all this stuff about justice is being served and all this stuff, it's really frustrating. Like, I don't think people really understand, or some people I should say understand, that black people are just tired. We're tired, we're stressed, we're fatigued by this whole thing. It's not something that just happened. It's been going on. And we don't want the other cops, the Tekashi 6ix9ine, this. We want them all to serve. We want them all to go to prison. We want them all to be hit with the sledgehammer of the law.
Understand why the other three haven't even been arrested yet.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. And then, like, if they, that's going to be a bigger problem if they go testify against the other cop and get less time. How would that make sense to anybody? So if somebody kills your family member and other people involved in the murder, you want any of them to get any less time? It makes no sense at all. So that last call,
right? Especially in a case like this, when you're like, what more could they give? Like, we saw the video. We all saw it.
What testimony do you need?
I know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I don't want anybody to not get the full benefit of the law and a fair trial and all of that stuff. But the arrest part is the part that baffles me.
Yeah, they're just out there.
And that's the problem, because at a staggering number, black people get arrested for stuff that's not even that bad. And they don't get the benefit of the law. They have to go through the whole court process to prove their innocence. So they're guilty until being proven innocent. And these people are caught on video doing this. And people want to saying that justice is being served and all this nonsense. It makes absolutely no sense. It actually makes no sense at all. I just don't get the way people think. And that's what makes black people even more pissed off, because if it was your family member, you would not say, hold off. Let's see what happens. Let's see.
You would not be saying justice is being... Right. I hear you.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm with you, Sean, and I do understand. I heard a fascinating podcast earlier today, and a law and order analyst, a legal analyst, looked at how hard it is to, first of all, charge police officers, but ultimately prosecute police officers, and went through this whole list of things why it's hard, and then talked specifically about Minneapolis. And, you know, the guy who's already been arrested, Derek Chauvin, had, 18 reports of misconduct filed against him during his police tenure, 19 years on the force. The head of the police department union, the head, had 29 complaints filed against him during the course of his law enforcement career in Minneapolis. Guess what he's already said? His job is to make sure all four of these cops get their jobs back.
Oh, my God.
This is the head of the union.
Right.
Who looks at the exact same video footage you've looked at and I've looked at and everybody else has, and says, my job is to get those cops' jobs back.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know how you can't be frustrated by that. Like, you hear something like that, it's just insane. And that's why I know, you know, it's an opportunity, what's happened in the last week, 2 weeks or whatever, to really have these discussions, and maybe, you know, people are going to change. But it's these people that are in a position of power, And I think, obviously, we're talking about police brutality right now, and that is that it's in the forefront, but it's everywhere. Like, the if you have an opportunity to, you know, hire somebody or fire somebody or promote somebody or whatever else it is, and you have some of these thoughts, like, we're just never going to be in a better spot. Or, you know, as we talked about yesterday with Wiggy, maybe in 10 years from now, it'll be better than it is right now, but how much better? Is it slightly better? And then, what's taken so long?
This legal analyst said it's very difficult to find out what's exactly in the records of police officers. But in Derek Chauvin's case, he'd had 18 complaints filed against him in his 19-year career. They resulted in a grand total of 2 letters of reprimand. That's what his punishment has been. By the way, 2 or 3 of those 18 complaints were shooting people.
Oh, my God.
And he's had 2 letters of reprimand. And if you're...
I bet they were sternly worded, though.
You know, it's going on your permanent record, sir.
Yep.
You just be aware of that. If you're a member of the black community in Minneapolis and you see these details about Derek Chauvin in the aftermath of watching him kill a man on video, you say, what the hell is going on here? What would he have to have done to have been taken off the force before he could kill George Floyd?
It seems like nothing. It seems like you can't come up with a reason for him to be out.
Like apparently there isn't.
Apparently it's a job for life.
And he's got a union who, man, is going to stick up for it. And I understand. The job of the union is to stick up for its members. I get it. I always wonder, you know, when you've got player against player crime in whatever sport, and the union is defending the guy who perpetrated the crime on another player, and I'm thinking, well, isn't that other player also a member of the union? And they're always in this tough position. I understand what unions have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this union head says his first task is to make sure all 4 of these officers get their jobs back.
Oh, my God. The Chris Rock line has been making the rounds. You've seen this. It's from one of his old stand-ups, but it is so true. He says, whenever the cops gun down an innocent black man, they always say the same thing. Well, it's not most cops. It's just a few bad apples. It's just a few bad apples. He goes, bad apple? That's a lovely name for murderer. That almost sounds nice. He goes, I've had a bad apple. It was tart, but it didn't choke me out. Here's the thing. He goes, I know being a cop is hard. I know it's dangerous. I know it is, okay? But some jobs can't have bad apples. Some jobs, everybody's got to be good. Like pilots. You know, American Airlines can't be like, hey, most of our pilots like to land. We just got a few bad apples that like to crash into mountains. Please bear with us. Like, it's so smart. Like, it's such a smart thing. And because we always say that too, right? And I think we maybe even justify that a little bit. Like, it's certainly not fair to say all cops are bad. But
no,
at the same
God,
time,
no.
Like, they kind of do need to be held to a higher standard.
But when
they
there is
do,
a
they,
bad
they so
cop, it's okay to say that you have a bad cop. Not only
yeah,
should
but,
you point
then,
out
you
that
got,
you've got
but,
a bad cop, get him the hell out of there.
You got to get him out of there. Right. Yeah, listen, it's a process to become a police officer, and maybe those guys change over time, and I'm not taking anything away from the difficulty of the job. Again, I could not do it, would not want to do
oh,
it,
God,
wouldn't last
no.
very long, couldn't do it. But they do need to be held to a higher standard. Like, they absolutely need to be. And like Chris Rock's line, we wouldn't feel that way about pilots. We're like, yeah, we don't know which pilot we're going to get tonight. Like, hopefully it's one of the good ones, right?
Hopefully
like,
it's one who likes to land.
No, you can't do it that way.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you. And at 12:15, Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.